Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
To hear and to receive. Jesus, I pray that God, every time we get together and look at your word, that we will not just hear a story, that we will not just hear some wisdom, that we will not just get some good ideas to make our life better, but Lord, that we will encounter the God of the Bible, the God of this word. Let every single one of us hear the voice, feel the love, and experience the presence as we together look at your word of the God of this Bible, the God of this word, and that's you, Jesus. I pray that we would meet you this morning in this place. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. How many has a mom? How many in this place have a mom this morning? Raise your hand if you have a mom. Everybody raise your hand. Every hand should be up. If not, you're some either clone from a test. I don't know. Who has a mom? I want to see every hand. Who has a mom? Make sure we're all here. Who has a mom? Okay, good. Good. So how many have, who here has ever been embarrassed by their mother? Anybody ever been embarrassed by their mother before? And my mom is here today, so I got to be careful about this story I'm going to tell, but this is true, and she'll back me up on it. She'll probably remember this. I can remember one of the glaring instances that I was embarrassed just beyond belief, mortified by my mother. I was about in the sixth or seventh grade, and we lived in Vincennes, Indiana, and me and my crew were chilling, I think, on the front porch. We were chilling out at the house, and my mom was going to the store, and she was taking on, and I believe she asked me if I wanted to go with her. And I said, no, I'm chilling with my boys. You know, all of sixth, seventh grade, real tough, chilling with my boys and all this. I mean, I'm chilling, Mom. I probably didn't say chilling then because that really wasn't even a cool word then. I don't know what I said, but I said, no, I'm not going to the store. I'm hanging out with my buddies. And my mom said this real loud from the street. She's at the car, and we're on the porch. And she said, she's laughing because she knows what I'm going to say. And she goes, are you sure you don't want to go because I'm buying you underwear? Now, to a sixth, seventh grade boy in front of his friends to find out that his mom was going to buy him underwear in that moment was the most shameful, mortifying experience of my young pre. Do you remember that? Of my young pre-adolescent, young adult life. And I remember just instantly my friends were just busting out laughing at me. And the foolish thing of it is their moms bought all their underwear too, you know what I mean? But mine shouted it from the streets. And so I remember just feeling so embarrassed at that moment. And the reality is she didn't really do anything that was that embarrassing. It was just the time, the situation in life. Made me feel really, really silly. And that, for whatever reason, I don't know if anybody else does, but that's kind of how I read this story. Like, Jesus is at this wedding, and his mom is like, oh, they're out of wine. Well, my son is Jesus. I don't know if you've heard of him, and I don't know if you heard the whole story about him, but Jesus is here. Like, this was like, this is another thing that drives, have you ever been in a moment, like maybe you said something funny last week, or you told a funny story a couple of days ago, and then like two or three days later, a few days later, you're like in a group of people, and all of a sudden somebody looks at you and goes, hey, do that thing, tell that funny story. And it's like the conference, like all of a sudden everything stops and looks at you and you're like, you're on. Anybody ever done that or had that happen? And I hate when my wife does that to me all the time. She'll be like, do that funny thing you do. And I'm like, it's like not even the moment for that. It won't even work. And then I do it begrudgingly and everybody just looks at me like, what did we stop to listen to this guy for? You know what I mean? And so that's like what I imagine happens here is Jesus' mom is like, hey, listen, there's this guy, Jesus, you know, he was, you know, virgin birth, all that crazy cool stuff. Yeah, you heard Jesus is here. He'll fix the wine situation. I imagine Jesus like, Mom, what are you doing? This is not the moment for that. He says, my time has not yet come. And Jesus' mom just kind of ignores what he says and goes, yeah, whatever. Just do whatever he tells you to do and moves on her way. Maybe that's not the way I should read it, but that's how I read it. That's how I kind of imagine this going down because this is such an odd place, I think, for Jesus to decide, I'm now going to make my move. You know what I mean? This is such an odd way and an odd moment for Jesus to decide, let me show off a little bit. And that's really not what he's doing, but let me reveal my glory a little bit here. Let me show what God, who I am and what God, the God that I am, really. It's so weird, but as we look at this, as we really dig a little deeper into the story, I think you're going to see how much of this really reveals the heart and the nature of Jesus by looking at, and we're going to look at about five things I want you to see from this story that is definitely more than a kid's story. And this is the first thing I want you to see. It's this. This is the very first miracle, the very first supernatural thing that Jesus does that's recorded in the Bible. And we know that because the Bible says it. John chapter 2, verse 11. This is the first of his miraculous signs. And Jesus, I want you to pay attention to this. Watch this. Jesus' miracle, the first place he shows up and does a miracle, is seemingly at a very ordinary and mundane everyday event. Just a wedding. Nobody's raised from the dead. Nobody's sight is given to them. Nobody tears the roof off of anything. Walls aren't falling down. It's just kind of an ordinary thing. And here's what I think you need to see from this is this. Listen to me close. Just because your need doesn't necessarily seem extraordinary doesn't mean Jesus doesn't want to move miraculously. Amen? Because I know that sometimes I've had a tendency to think, well, my need really isn't that big of a deal. The thing that's bothering me, the thing that I need God to move and intervene in my life, it's not that big of a deal. I don't have cancer. I don't have some great sickness that I need God to heal me from. I just need God to get me through the next 24 hours without choking one of my kids. You know, and like, that shouldn't be that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've got food to eat, but I just need a little bit of money to help pay a couple of bills I'm behind on, and that really shouldn't be a big deal. I don't really know if Jesus wants to get involved in that. Listen to me. Just because your need doesn't seem extraordinary doesn't mean God doesn't want to move miraculously. This was an ordinary, everyday event. Hey, they ran out of wine. Big deal. And yet Jesus chooses this ordinary, mundane, seemingly very, very just low-key event to first reveal his glory with this miraculous sign and wonder. And here's one thing you need to understand. In this culture, if for this couple to have started out their life and running out of wine, this was actually a very big deal to this day and age. In fact, the bride and groom would have been completely shamed if the guests at their wedding banquet were not able to be served to their fill and they had to tell someone, whoops, we ran out. This would be a real black mark on them. This would ruin their reputation in some circles in this culture. And so Jesus shows up to save their face, to save their reputation, and to save this new couple from starting out their life with a blight on their reputation. And it may not be that big a deal. It may not seem like that big of a thing, but it's very ordinary, very everyday. And I think it's this. Jesus chooses to show his glory in this miraculous way in the very plain, very ordinary, very mundane things of life as if to say, I want to be involved in the very ordinary, very everyday parts of your life. Amen? Jesus wants to be involved in the everyday affairs of your life. Amen? I'm not saying you need to fast and pray for 20 minutes before you decide what to wear in the morning. I mean, just put on something appropriate for wherever you're going. Amen? I'm not saying you need to spend 20 minutes in the kitchen fasting and praying over what to cook for dinner. God bless. Just put something on the table. Amen? But Jesus wants to be involved. He wants to talk. He wants to show himself to you through the everyday affairs of life. And if we train ourselves and train our hearts and train our minds to be involved and to keep Jesus involved in our everyday affairs of life, guess what? You'll begin to see him move miraculously even in the mundane. Amen? Amen? You may think I'm crazy, but I've been driving around malls before and couldn't find a parking space, and all of a sudden there was a parking space right up front, and I thought, thank you, Jesus. Amen? That may not seem like a big deal to you, but man, it's a big deal to me. I appreciate that. And I believe God gave that to me. Amen? You go, well, that's stupid and silly. Maybe it is, but guess what? Jesus wants to show up in a miraculous way in the mundane, everyday ways of your life. Amen? Listen. It's not all knocking down walls and tearing the roof off that Jesus shows up in. Sometimes it's in the, and I think it's key too. Jesus shows up and reveals himself where this is a wedding feast. Right? I mean, this is a wedding. This is marriage. This is one of the foundational building blocks of culture and society from day one, correct? Man, wife, making babies, creating family, creating a place to God for God to show himself through family. Amen? How many understand that? Marriage and family is a foundational core aspect of life. In fact, it's one of the core needs that every individual has. Home, shelter, food, and family. A tribe to belong to. That's one of our core needs. And I believe Jesus chooses one of those core needs to show up and say, listen, I want to be involved at the very foundational level of your life. Amen? I don't want to just be involved in your life just when you have this great need and you don't know where else to turn and you know that only God can do it. I want to be involved at the very ordinary, very foundational level of your life. And so Jesus chooses that moment to show up. Amen? The second thing you need to see is this. Jesus was good for the party. Everybody say Jesus was good for the party. I think it's cool to realize that the Bible says that there was a wedding feast in Cana. Jesus' mom was there, and Jesus and his disciples were all invited to the party. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Jesus and his disciples were fun to be around. Amen? Jesus was fun to be around, or else why would he get an invite to a party? Do you invite people to your party that you don't want to be around, that you don't want to hang out with? Typically, probably not. So they invited, why would they invite Jesus and his disciples? Notice, Jesus and his disciples. Not just Jesus, but his disciples, his followers. They said, man, we want those crazy Jesus people at our party because they are a blast to be around. They are going to make this party happen. They're going to make this party pop off because there ain't no party like a Jesus party, because a Jesus party don't stop. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. I don't know what their thought was. I don't know if they said that or not. But they invited Jesus to the party. Why? Because Jesus was fun to be around. Amen? Listen to me, church, Christian, listen to me, follower of Jesus. We ought to be fun people to be around. Amen. Coming to church ought to be the biggest highlight of our week. We ought to come to church and smile and laugh and hang out. And when we go to the restaurant after church or wherever you go eat lunch at, man, when we get together, we ought to laugh so hard, cut up so hard, have so much fun that people look around going, man, what's with these people? And we can tell them, it's Jesus. Amen. Now, in most of our cultures, most of the time, we look at Jesus as not something to be invited to the party. Because if we invite disciples and Jesus to the party, that's going to be a buzzkill. Because he's going to show up and start pointing fingers. And he's going to show up and start condemning people. And he's going to show up and start telling people everything they've done wrong. And he's going to bring down our good time. And we're not going to be able to really be ourselves. And we're not going to be able to really cut up. You know what I mean? You know what I hate? I hate. I really do. And every time I get asked, whether I might be getting my hair cut or meet somebody new for the first time or just in the grocery or whatever, you're in a conversation with somebody that doesn't know you. And when they ask me, they say, what do you do? What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? I hate telling people I'm a pastor or a preacher. And I haven't come up with a good enough lie yet that's not really a lie to not say. And here's why. It's not because I'm ashamed of what I do at all. It's because a lot of times the moment I say that, it number one, it changes people's perception of me. And number two, sometimes they will begin to act differently than they did before. You know what I mean? Like somebody may have just been cussing, and then I'll tell them I'm a pastor. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, as if I've never heard that before, and I don't know what kind of pastor. Maybe I'm just a little different, but listen, you ain't going to bother me. You know, I ain't going to get mad at you for cussing as long as you ain't going to get mad at me for cussing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just kidding, kind of. And so, because people have these ideas that Christians are no fun to be around. The church is not a fun place to go. Jesus is not fun, man. He's going to bring me down. He's going to kill my... But I don't see that. Jesus, man, he was invited to the party. Why? Because Jesus liked to party. Jesus liked to hang out. And let me just say this. I know some of y'all might get mad at me for this, but listen to me close. Listen, Jesus turned the water into wine. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but the reality is this. Listen, drinking a glass of wine is not a sin. If it was, then why would Jesus turn the water into wine and give it to people? because Jesus cannot tempt anyone to sin. That would go against his God nature. Jesus would have violated his godly self to have given someone something that would tempt them to sin. Now, some people might say, well, Brother Justin, if you read that in the Greek language, wine in the New Testament didn't mean wine. It was grape juice. It was non-fermented. Let me tell you something. That is in totally improper context of the Bible. There's no difference in the word. This was not grape juice. This was actually wine with alcohol in it. Amen? Okay? Now, let me say this. Listen to me. Now, before you're all, now you're all like, woo! Party time! Take communion. Listen to me close. Although it's not a sin to drink, the believer has no business being drunk. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul clearly says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Listen to me, child of God, you've got no business getting poop-faced every Friday and Saturday night, drinking yourself into a stupor until you can't hardly speak or stand straight. Come on, somebody. That's not God's will for your life. You are wasting God's potential. Is it a sin to have a glass of wine at dinner or to have a beer at the end of a long day? Absolutely not. But if you've got to sit home on your couch and drink a case of beer every night to make yourself go to sleep, you've got a problem. And you're not following Scripture. You're just a drunk. Amen? You have no business being drunk, being inebriated, being in any condition where you are acting differently and the only difference in your life is because you have alcohol in your system. That's not God's will for your life. What's going on is you are allowing something else to control you other than the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see this. Here's the thing. Notice in the story, now we can assume that they have drunk all the wine. So that means there are folk in this party that are probably drunk. In fact, the Bible says the father of the bride calls the bridegroom over and says, hey, normally, because everybody's drunk right now, they bring out the worst wine, but you've saved the best till last, and we're going to have an even better time. And I want you to see this. Even though, listen. I want you to see this. I can't have said it any more plainly than I did. It is a sin for you to be drunk. That is not God's will for your life. Amen? But watch this. Jesus is still amongst drunks, and he doesn't offer any condemnation. He doesn't point a finger. He's just there to love. Amen? Amen? So listen, it's not our job to be the drunk police or the whatever sin police. It's our job to let the love of Jesus flow through us. And man, let's be the life of the party without having to partake of all the party. Does that make sense? Amen? Amen? So Jesus was good for the party. And wherever we go, as believers, we ought to be good for that party. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. The third thing you need to see here in this story is that Jesus used what was available, right? He has this moment, his mom's like, hey, Jesus, do something about this wine. He's like, man, I don't want to do nothing about this wine. I don't care about this wine. His mom's like, come on, do whatever he tells you to do. And she leaves him until Jesus left, like, okay, now everybody's looking at me. Okay. So Jesus, the Bible says, turns around. The Bible says he sees six stone water pots that were just there, not being used, that were empty. Okay? Jesus used what was available. So your neighbor say, Jesus used what was available. Listen to me close. Write this down. Whatever I make available, he will use for the miracle. Amen? Whatever I make available in my life, Jesus will use for the miracle. Amen? And some of you, listen, sometimes I may be looking for a miracle and I may have a need in my life and I'm looking for God to move supernaturally. What I need to do, instead of looking up going, God, where are you at? What I probably need to do is look around in my life and say, what can I make available? Amen? What can I make available to God to work this miracle through? God, what do I need to make available? Do I need to make my finances available to you? That's what I'll do. Do I need to make some of my, do I need to free up some time so I can get involved in the things of God a little more and make myself available? That's what I'll do. God, what do I need to do to make myself available? What in my life am I holding on to that I'm not making available? And here's the thing. He will use whatever I make available to him, he will use for the miracle. Amen? And the Bible says this is mind-blowing to me because I don't like the way this looks, but I can't deny it. Listen, guess what? The only thing that was available was the tool of tradition and religion. The Bible said, listen, these 6 stone water pots, if you read the story and you read it with us, it said these stone water pots were used for the Jewish ceremonial cleansing and the washing of their hands. Jewish people would never eat food without first ceremonially washing their hands. And so this was a pot that was used as part of this religious tradition that Jesus is getting ready to overthrow in the next couple of years. Yet Jesus, when the only thing available is tradition and religion, Jesus will go ahead and use it to make his purpose available. Amen? Now, what does that have to do with anything? Here's the thing. There are all kinds of people that have this idea of, well, I love Jesus, but I hate church. I don't like organized religion. And they think this is, if you show up with a group of people, that's organized religion. And I guess you could make the argument for that. But here's the reality. Listen, the church is still the best tool available to God today. I'm not saying it's perfect, and I'm not saying that, certainly not this church is perfect, and I'm not saying the capital C church on a whole is perfect, but it is still the number one tool that God is using to reach people and to bring people into a relationship with him in the world today. Amen? Listen to me, Red Life Church, we are still the most available tool that God has to reach people in Brookville and Franklin County, Indiana. That's you and that's me. Come on, somebody. And all we have to do is make ourselves available. We may not be the right, we may not think we're right, we may not think it's the right stuff, we may not think it looks right or sounds right or whatever else, but if I make it available, God will use it for the miracle. Amen? And in your life, if you make it available, God will use it for the miracle. If you make your gift available, God will use it for the miracle. You may think, well, I don't have any gifts that can be involved in church. You know, I don't sing, I don't play an instrument. I certainly don't preach. I can't go teach a lesson in kids class, and I can't change poopy diapers in the nursery because I'll throw up. I don't know what gifts I have. Listen, then what gifts do you have? What gifts do you have? Can you smile? You could greet people coming in the door. Amen? Hey, let's forget about even inside the church. Maybe you like to bake. Maybe you're a great baker. You just like to bake cakes and cookies and whatever else. You know what you could do? You could bake up some banana nut bread in the fall. Glory to God. Wrap it up in some cellophane and take that to your neighbor with an invite card to church and say, man, I just want to give you this. I'd love to see you at church sometime. Use whatever's available. God will take what we make available and use it for the miracle. Amen? God will use what I make available for the miracle. God will use what I make available for the miracle. And he changes. Notice he changes in the same vein of whatever I make available. He changed water into wine. Now, Jesus could have just as easily changed orange juice into wine, apple juice into wine. Heck, he could have changed carpet into wine. I mean, he could have done anything he wanted to. But he changed water into wine. Why? Because it's what the vessel was full of. Amen? Listen. You may be full of something that you know is not the thing that God wants to do. But if I make it available, God will change whatever I'm full of and use it for his glory. Amen? You may be full of hurt and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, but if you make your vessel available, God can turn that into something that's useful. Amen? He can turn your hurt and turn it and transform it into healing. Come on, somebody. Amen? You may be full of shyness and meekness and quietness. And think, man, I can never open my mouth. I can never talk to a stranger. I can't even barely talk to people. I know I'm so. But guess what? If you make that available, God can turn your shyness into boldness. He really can. Amen? Whatever I'm full of, when I make it available, God will change it into what he needs for the miracle. Oh, that's so good. Amen? Your marriage may be full of brokenness. You may be in a marriage that's full of brokenness and full of bitterness and full of fighting and full of anger and full of strife and full of discord. But listen, here's the thing. What we try to do is we try to fix it ourselves and try to put our hands on it and make it. That's not what God says. God says, just make it available to me. And if I make it available to him, guess what? He can turn that brokenness, he can turn that anger, he can turn that fighting, he can turn that strife into unity, into solidarity, into healing. Amen? Whatever I make available, and whatever's in the pot, he'll turn into what he needs for the miracle. The fourth thing is this. I want you to see that Jesus involved other people to be a part of the miracle. He looked at the servants and said, fill the water up, and then take the water and give it to the master of the party and just see what happens. Now Jesus could have just as easily could have spit in the water and turned it into wine. And I guess that's kind of disgusting. Why would he do that? I don't know. He spit in a dude's eye one time and it healed him. So why not? could have waved his hand like this and turned it into wine. Could have spoke, just said wine, and it would have turned into wine. Could have done all sorts of things, but what he chose to do was use other people to be involved in the miracle. And I want you to listen to this. Jesus almost always involves other people in the miracle. Jesus always uses, and listen, he always uses servants to get involved in the miracle. Okay, now watch this. The Bible says clearly that this was not, even though this was Jesus' first miraculous sign, he didn't stand up at the party and go, hey, everybody enjoying that wine? It looks like you are. You know where that came from? That came from the grapevines of JC right here, baby. That was me. He didn't do that. In fact, the Bible says the only people, watch this, the only people that even knew anything miraculous had happened were the servants. Because sometimes I've got to serve if I want to see the miracle. Amen? Sometimes if I want to see the miracle, I've got to be involved in it and I've got to serve there. Amen? Listen, let me just give you a really great example from the life of what we've done here at this church. You walk into this building, and you may remember it was a CVS, and you walked in a year ago on Easter Sunday and thought, man, this is really nice, this is really great, they've really done a great job. But listen, if you weren't here every Saturday grinding it out and making this happen, you may not, you say, man, this is a really nice building, and we've done a great job, but you don't really appreciate the miracle that it was for you know, sometimes three or four men on a Saturday, sometimes 15, 20 people showing up, but you don't realize the miracle that it was to transform this building from December 1st, 2014 to April 15th, whatever day it was, 2015, you didn't really see the miracle. You see the result, but you don't know the miracle because you weren't here serving. Amen? And I'm not knocking you. I'm not saying that to condemn or knock or to make you feel bad or anything else. I'm just saying when those of us that were here remember the miracle. See, I remember Justin Ward, who's one on their deacon team. Sorry, man, I don't mean to put you on the spot here. But he was when we started playing this out, he was going to do all the electrical. He has a background in electrical. He was an electrician for a while. He said, I'll take care of the electrical part when we get to that part. Here's what happened. He lost his job, got a new job that required him to work every single Saturday and couldn't be here, couldn't do it. He felt bad, called me, he said, Justin, I'm sorry, I don't know, there's nothing I can do. I've got to do, this is where I'm at. I said, man, it's okay, we're going to figure it out. And guess what? Right about the week before, we were to a place where we have got to start running wiring or the whole thing is going to stop. I got a phone call from somebody from another church that doesn't even go here. It said, man, the Lord put you guys on my heart and I'm an electrician and if you guys need help with electrical wiring and stuff, I can come in and help. And I said, yeah, you know what? We really do need that. That was a miracle. And guess what? That gentleman was here every single Saturday for about 8 weeks doing all of the electrical work. The miracle, man. That's a miracle. Now, you just come in. We didn't come in now and turn the lights on, but I remember the miracle it was to get the lights on because I was because we were here serving. Does that make sense? The whole other side of the building is new tile, new ceiling tile, because we totally ripped up the ceiling tile, was just to a place where there's no way we were going to fix it. I remember the miracle when somebody called and said, hey, I've got a whole bunch of new ceiling tile that's going to get donated, and a couple of guys are going to come in and lay the track, and we just got to pop the tiles back in. Boom, miracle. Amen? Now we just walk in and see. But see, so sometimes I've got to, if I want to see the miracle, I've got to be in a place to serve. Amen? Some of you just come in, and we just come in, and we check our kids in on the computer system. You drop your kids off in nursery or send them off after worship. And that's wonderful, and it's great, and we see that's awesome. But you don't know sometimes the miracle it is to have that available on a week-to-week basis. Right, Jess Ward? Because if you're not involved serving, amen? You may hear us on Sunday morning and go, man, this band sounds awesome. Holy Spirit is on them today. But you weren't here 2 hours before when we were warming up and getting everything in tune and getting things as best we can arrange to really see the miracle. Amen? But I got to tell you, there's some Sunday mornings that we rehearse at 9 a.m. and do our run-through, and I think, oh, man, it's going to be rough today. Ooh, we didn't know what we were doing, and to be honest, we still really don't. But all of a sudden, we begin to play, and we begin to worship, and we begin to sing. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord shows up, and everything just kind of has a way of coming together. But we sit back and go, oh, that was great. That was wonderful. But I can see the miracle for what it is because I'm involved in it. Does that make sense? And so sometimes if I want to see the miracle, I've got to serve. Amen? If I want to see the miracle, I've got to get in a position to serve. And that doesn't just mean in the church on Sunday morning. That means in every area of life. I've got to do something to be involved sometimes to see the miracle. Does that make sense? Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, sometimes I got to serve. And I want you to see this also. Watch this. Even let's take this a step further. Jesus commands the disciples. He says, I want you to scoop some of the water out and go serve it. Can you imagine? You're the servant. Jesus' mom, you know what I mean? The mother of God. Mary, do you think when Jesus got mad, he said, Mary, mother of God, what's the matter with you? You ever think he did that? I don't know. Oh, man, I don't know why that's so funny to me, but it is. But these servants are carrying this what is a glass of water, and they're giving it to the master of the bridegroom to say, Here's some new wine. When do you think it transformed into wine? I don't think it transformed into wine until the moment that it got into the other guy's hands. Because that's just how Jesus works. Why? Because watch this. Transformation doesn't happen until I serve. Amen? Sometimes for the transformation to take hold of my life, I've got to find somewhere to serve. Amen? What I mean is this. As believers, sometimes we have a tendency, I think, to just sit back and get fed and get fed and get fed and get fed. We come to church and we sit and we get fed. We enjoy the worship. We enjoy the music. We come to Sunday school. We read books. We read our Bible. And we just get fed and we get fed and we get fed. And there's sometimes in Christianity, spiritually, we can be the most obese, out-of-shape people spiritually. And the reason is because we don't ever use what we've been given. Amen? Just like spiritually, just like in the natural, if all I do is eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and I don't ever burn those calories, I'm going to get real fat real quick. Amen? I know something about it. Spiritually the same way. If all I ever do is eat and eat and eat and eat and get taught and get taught and get fed and get fed and never serve, I get real spiritually out of shape. Okay? You know, I've noticed this, and I've been in church a long time. You know, I've noticed this. oftentimes, the only people that get upset and get aggravated and run their mouth about anything that's going on in church are usually people that don't serve. Because when you serve, you're invested in something. Amen? When you serve, you're invested and you're in it and you're trying to make something better. And when all you do is come and get served, then it gives you the ability to point fingers and critique. This is good stuff, man. Amen? That goes on in church. Goes on in business, too. Goes on in business, too. The only people that run their mouth about your job, about a place to work, are the people that just show up, punch a clock, do the bare minimum of their job requirements, and take their paycheck and go home. And then they want to run their mouth about the boss and how the company's running, how the business is running, how everything should be better. But the people that are doing above and beyond, the people that are there not just for a paycheck, but to invest themselves and to make that place better, they're serving. Why? Because if I want to see the miracle, I've got to serve. And sometimes the transformation doesn't take place until I begin to serve and do something with what I've already been given. Does that make sense? The water didn't transform from water into wine until it was served. And sometimes in my life, oftentimes in my life, in fact, most of the time of my life, the most radical transformation has taken place in my life when I began to serve, when I began to do something, when I began to use what I've already been given. Does that make sense? Let me just challenge you with this. If you feel like your walk with God has kind of plateaued, kind of just hit a stopping point, kind of just hit a wall, kind of just hit a place where it's like, yeah, let me challenge you with something. Maybe you should find a place to serve. Maybe you should find a place to serve. Amen? Maybe you should find someone to serve. Maybe you should find someone to serve. Find someone to help out. Find someone to bless. Find some place to use what God's already given you. And see if that doesn't kickstart a new transformation in your life. This is good stuff this morning, eh? The last thing I want you to see as the band comes is this. Jesus's wine is better. Jesus' wine is better because Jesus is better. Does that make sense? Let me get you down to the nuts and bolts and just the real big idea, I believe, of this story. Okay? And listen to me. And there's all kinds of things we can pull out, all kinds of truth and nuggets we can pull out from every text of the Bible. And this one's not an exempt. It's not exempt from that. But listen to me close, guys. Listen. Because I don't want you to go out of this place and the only thing you heard was it's okay to have alcohol. Great. That's not the point of this story. It's really not. I know you know that. The point of the story was not just to document Jesus' first miracle. It wasn't just to give a referendum to say it's okay for Christians to drink. That's not what the point of the story is. The real point of the story, the big idea that the author is trying to make and that God wants us to get from this text is that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer. Jesus has something he offers us that's better than anything else. Amen? And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Because sometimes we think Christianity is about bad people becoming good people. Right? Like the church is just for, like, I'm not really a bad person. I haven't really done a lot of bad things in my life. I never spent a night in jail. I've never robbed anybody. I didn't do a whole lot of bad things in my life. So I think I'm okay. I'm just kind of a good guy. So maybe church just isn't really for me. Listen to me. Church is not just a place for bad people. And Jesus is not just something for bad people to become good people. Jesus is about this. It's about whoever you are and wherever you are, Jesus offers you the best life available. Something better than whatever you are and whatever you have and whatever you've experienced now. Amen? The wine was okay at the party. The wine was good. It was good. Now, listen, the wine was so good that they drank all of it. That's how good it was. When's the last time you ate or drank all of anything that was not that good? You said, this isn't that good. I don't want any more. Let's find out. No, they drank all of it. So this was some good wine, I guess. I don't know anything about wine, but I assume this was good wine. You know, this was not Mad Dog 2020. This was some good stuff. okay? This was not something they got at the liquor store in a brown paper sack, right? This was good, and they drank it all because it was good. But then when they got a taste of Jesus, it was better. And that's the point. Jesus is better. No matter how bad your life is, no matter how good your life is, no matter how great your life is, Jesus is better. When you get involved with Jesus, it will be better than it was before because Jesus is better. Amen. Stay on me all over this place this morning. Jesus is better. Listen. Jesus offers us something better through the power of the Holy Spirit that is better than any wine, better than any drug, better than any drink, better than anything on this earth. Jesus says, I've got a life for you that's better through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And listen, today, in this moment, today, right now, listen, you can experience the better life that Jesus has for you. Amen? Would you just right now, would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Just as a way to focus. Just as a way to focus. Just as a way to kind of block out.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.